Hopefully you've had a wonderful Thanksgiving and been able to work off all that extra calories you ate on Thanksgiving. I see Terrence down here rolling his eyes at me like, yeah, right. Anyway, let's dive into this morning's text and let me begin with a question. How many of you can see that God is using CBC to bring forth a spiritual harvest? This is an exciting time in the life of Community Bible Church. For the past 2 to 3 years, individuals on Sunday evening from this church have gathered to pray that God, by His Spirit, would move in people's hearts and draw individuals to Himself, that they would see their need for Jesus. God is answering those prayers. There are individuals here on a regular basis who have never attended church regularly. There are other individuals who have started coming who haven't been to church for years. And you know it's not about coming to church. But my point is this: God is drawing people in this community to Himself. They're sensing a need in their life for something, and they're looking to Jesus. Over the past couple years, there has been a sense, especially among leadership, that God has been molding and preparing CBC for a time of harvest. There is a sense that God is preparing us and molding us to be His instruments in seeing people come to Christ and grow in Christ. That season is here. That season is now. I make that declaration, and just because I make that declaration doesn't mean it's true, right? But I want you to look and to see. I want to point you to what God is doing in our midst. How many of you want to play a role in what God is doing here at CBC in bringing forth the spiritual harvest? How many of you want to be part of what the true and the living God is doing in seeing people find hope, find peace, find meaning in a relationship with Jesus Christ? How many of you want to make a difference, not just for this life, but for eternity? How many of you want to be part of a spiritual harvest that God is bringing forth here at CBC? If that's where you're at, take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, this is actually the second to last week in our 13-week series going through the first four chapters of John. Pastor Jim is going to bring forth the last and final message in this 13-part series. And then I'm going to begin a 2-week series in the middle of December on rest, finding rest in the midst of the holiday hecticness. And then December 23rd will be our Christmas service and our Christmas message. For those of you who were here last week, you remember we looked at Jesus and His dialogue with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. For those of you who weren't here, or for those of you who were, let me refresh your memory. Jesus was going from Judea to Galilee, right? And He had to go through Samaria. Jesus is Jewish. His disciples were Jewish. A good Jewish man would not go through Samaria because those individuals had intermarried. They were viewed as unclean. And so the Jewish people would go around Samaria on their way to Galilee. But Jesus, He wasn't concerned. He didn't have those prejudices. And so He was going through Samaria on His way to Galilee. It was about noon. The disciples were tired, they were hungry, they stopped at a well. The disciples decided to go into town to get something to eat. Jesus said He was going to just hang out here by the well. A Samaritan woman comes. Not just a typical Samaritan woman, but she was basically the social outcast of that town, of that village. She is living with a man who is not her husband. She had had 5 previous marriages. And so out of all the people in Samaria, that was the individual Jesus chose to reveal Himself to. He made the offer to her of living water. He made the offer that the deep longings of her heart could be met. through a relationship with God found in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. That's the context for John chapter 4. That's what we talked about last week. We skipped over about 5 or 6 verses last week. I want to zero in on them this morning. Let's pick up the story in verse 27. John chapter 4, verse 27. Just then his disciples returned, and they were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap that you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Jesus is always taking physical objects in front of us and turning them into spiritual lessons. It's what he did last week when he looked at the woman of the well. He took the physical object of water and turned it into a spiritual lesson. He does the same things to the disciples. The disciples say, "Aren't you hungry, Jesus?" And he says, "No." They're like, "Did someone bring him food?" And then look, verse 34. He says, "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." What was he saying to the disciples? He was saying, "I am satisfied by doing the will of my Father. I have found satisfaction in the conversation that I just had with this Samaritan woman, helping her to see who the Christ is, who the Messiah is. I have found satisfaction in doing the will of my Heavenly Father." This phrase, "doing the will of my Heavenly Father," shows up throughout the Gospels, especially in John. And I want you to show you just 2 of those verses this morning. Take a look on the screen. John chapter 6, Jesus says this, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." He says later in John chapter 8, "The one who sent me is with me," referring to God the Father. "He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." The heart of Jesus was to walk closely with his Heavenly Father so that he would know what pleases the Father. His desire was to do the will of his Father. Jesus understood that he was on his mission, and his mission was to do his Father's will. Catch this. Jesus didn't need to preach in every Samaritan village. He didn't need to heal everyone that was ill. He did not need to feed all of the hungry people. Yes, he had a heart, he had a love, he had a burden for all of mankind. But he didn't have to heal everyone. He didn't have to preach to everyone. All he had to do was walk closely with the Father and do only what the Father had asked of him. My point is this. If you want to be part of what God is doing here at Community Bible Church, if you want to be part of the spiritual harvest that God is bringing forth, you and I need to carry out the unique assignments that God the Father has for us. I want to encourage you to take notes this morning. That's the first point in our handout. It's harvest time. Here at CBC, God is bringing forth a harvest, and each of us can be part of what God is doing by carrying out the unique assignments that God the Father has waiting for us. I have 2 concerns. Here's my first concern. Some of you are stressed out and overwhelmed because you are doing things for God that he never intended you to do. You are too busy doing things for God. Now, did you ever think you'd hear a pastor say that? You are too busy doing too many things for God. Every time there's a need, every time there's a ministry, you think, oh man, I got to do this. I need to do this. God doesn't need any one of us. It's a privilege to serve Him. Our job is to walk closely with the Father so that we understand and can carry out the unique assignments that He has for us. Isn't that what Jesus was modeling? My food is to do the Father's will, not to heal everyone, not to preach to everyone, but to do simply the task, the assignments that God has for me. My second concern is just the opposite. Some of you are too busy doing all the things that you want to do. You're too busy living your own lives, not concerned about what the Father's will are. You're pursuing careers, dreams, hobbies, recreations, all those things we talked about last week that cannot satisfy the deep longings of our heart. And Jesus says, find your food, find your satisfaction in doing the Father's will. Here at CBC, all of us need to come together, understanding that we have unique assignments for the harvest here at CBC. Now, some of you might be saying, well, Jeff, how do I know which assignments are for me and which ones are assignments for other people? I mean, there's all these needs here. There's all these ministries. There's all the people in my neighborhood, all these people that I could be giving time and attention to. How do I know which ones are from God? Talk to Pastor Jan on that one. That's a good question, isn't it? How are we able to discern God's will? I'm not going to take 30 minutes to unpack discerning God's will this morning. But I want you to understand what the biggest barrier is. I do not believe the biggest barrier is being able to discern or not to discern. The biggest barrier is ourselves and our hearts. When you and I come to the point in our lives when we're able to do what we just sung, surrender ourselves, say, have your own way in my heart. If you're able to get to that point, God will be able to clearly show you. And here again, it's going to be different for each one of you. But you will know in your spirit, you will know in your heart, not to carry that assignment would be disobedience. You will have a sense in your spirit as you walk closely with the Father. And here again, that's the solution for both concerns. For individuals who are too concerned about living for themselves, that you're not concerned about doing the Father's will. And for individuals who are too busy doing everything for God, the solution for both of us, for both individuals, is to slow down, spend time with the Father, walk with the Father, discern His heart, discern His assignments. Each of us has assignments that God has ordained for us. Doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. Doesn't matter how much you know or don't know about the Bible. Doesn't matter your age, your background. God has unique assignments for each of us. At this time, I want to have Sandy Boylan and Arlene Nace come to the podium. Okay, I want to talk about the unique assignment that God has called Arlene and Sandy to. Let's welcome Arlene and Sandy. This is Sandy, and next to her is Arlene. And their biggest concern is they don't want you to think that they're showing off this morning, okay? But I told you that you would not judge their hearts. I've asked them to come up here. But the unique assignment that God has called Sandy and Arlene to is that every night they get on the phone and they pray together. They pray for me. They pray for the pastors. They pray for the elders. They pray through the prayer sheet for those who are sick. They pray for the people in the military. They pray that God would be at work in this community, that God would be able to use CBC as His instruments. And they will tell you that they have seen lots and lots of prayers answered, okay? I also want to share with you a unique assignment that God has given to Sandy. She has had eye trouble for years upon years, and she has been waiting for a cornea transplant. And not too long ago, she received the phone call that there was a donor, and she was going to have a cornea transplant. And she was meeting with the doctor about the transplant, and she asked out of curiosity, can you tell me a little bit about the person whose cornea I'm receiving? And he said yes. He said it was a 4-year-old little girl. And Sandy, for 20 years, had worked with the 3- and 4-year-olds, the preschool individuals here at CBC. And so there has always been a special place in her heart for 3- and 4-year-olds. And now she was receiving the cornea, an eye transplant, from a 4-year-old little girl. And so she began to obviously well up thinking about all the dynamics of that. But I'd like for her to share what she's been able to do since that transplant.
I asked my doctor, I hope you can understand me today. I asked my doctor how I could contact the family and write a thank you note. And he said, that would be very commendable. He said, I'll give you a number to call. It's called Gift of Life. So I called them, and they told me I could write a letter. But I can't give my last name, and I can't tell where I had the surgery. So I prayed about it because my heart went out to this family because of this little girl passing away. And my doctor told me that she was sick from birth. So it was a blessing for me to get this cornea. So I wrote a letter, and I told them that I've been praying for them every day. And I also said that I would have went blind if I wouldn't have got this cornea. And I told them also that I'm sad for them, but I'll keep praying for them. And I sent a poem along that my mother wrote in 1960 on salvation. And I thought, if they aren't saved, this will start them thinking. And if they are a Christian, they'll just pass it on. So the next time when I went to the doctor, he told me that Gift of Life got my letter, and they gave it to the family, and I'm waiting to hear from the family. They said, I will hear from them. So I'm just praying that this will be a witness to this family, and I'm just so happy that I could write this letter. And I can't see completely yet, but he told me in about 6 months it'll take, and then I'll be able to see. So the Lord is good, and I thank the Lord for giving me this cornea.
Here again, in the beginning of this year, Sandy had no idea that she would have the opportunity to pray for a family in Philadelphia that was going to be losing their 4-year-old little girl, that God in His sovereignty would connect them together. And here again, our job is to do the assignments that God brings for us. We don't have to be worried about the results. We don't have to worry about how it turns out. All we need to do is be faithful to the assignments that God brings our way. And so this week, as we think about God's bringing forth a harvest, think about, God, what assignment do you have for me? What assignments do you have waiting for me in 2008? Let's show our appreciation for Arlene and Sandy. When the body of Christ works as God intended it to work, it is a beautiful thing. Okay? My role is to stand up here and to proclaim God's word on a Sunday morning. But I wouldn't be able to do it with the power and with authority and with the freedom and the Holy Spirit except for people praying for me like Arlene and for Sandy. They have been able to sense God's will and what God wants to do here at CBC. And they have been God's instruments to pray those things into fruition. God is bringing forth the harvest here at CBC. Think about and pray about, walk closely with the Father so you can discern what are the unique assignments that he is waiting for you. Take a look back at the text for the second key that we need to understand this morning about being part of the spiritual harvest. Look at what Jesus says in verse 35. He says, "Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest?" Not exactly sure what month it was, but 4 months from that time is when there would be the physical harvest. Traditionally, the harvest around here is probably September or October, so it would have been June or July. But he makes a transition with his disciples. He says, "Do not say 4 months more and then the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." Now go back to verse 30. It says they came out of the town and they made their way towards him. So we have the Samaritan woman who went back into town and said, "Hey, come see this man who has told everything about me. Is he the Messiah?" And so they are coming out of this village. They're coming to Jesus. They're coming to his disciples. They're on their way. Jesus says to his disciples, "Open your eyes. Look up. Look at the fields. They are ripe upon harvest. The harvest is now." Jesus knew that the Samaritans who were coming were spiritually open, were spiritually hungry, that they were waiting, that they were longing for the Messiah. And Jesus says, "Look up, open your eyes, see that the harvest is now. See that the fields are ripe for harvest." I can assure you that if Jesus was here this morning, standing on this platform, he would say the very same thing. He would say, "Look up. Get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes off your problems. Look out. There are people all around you who are broken, who are hurting, who are spiritually thirsty, who are spiritually hungry. The harvest is plentiful. The harvest is now." I think too many times we assume that people around us aren't interested in spiritual things. We make that assumption, but yet it's not a correct assumption. And I'm not saying that all your coworkers, all your neighbors are interested in spiritual things. But remember what I said last week? That we spend our lives pursuing things of this world that can never satisfy the deep longings of our hearts. All of us have been created with a God-sized vacuum. All of us have a hole in our heart that cannot be satisfied with the things of this world. And no matter how hard we try, we still end up feeling empty. Sin is fun for a season. But whatever it is that you're living for and dreaming for, when you have, it's never enough. And so people are hungering and thirsting for, they have longings of their heart. And what are those longings? We talked about them last week. An inner peace. To be able to lay your head down on the pillow at night and to be at peace with yourself and to be at peace with God, your maker. A sense of confidence, security, purpose, joy, and hope. They're the deep longings of our heart. There are people all throughout this community who have deep longings of their heart that are not met. They're searching. And if you and I are going to be part of the harvest that God is bringing forth here at CBC, we need to, just open our eyes and look around and reach out to those people who are spiritually hungry. Reach out to those around us who are spiritually hungry. Open your eyes. What if every week, better yet, every day, as you started your day, you said, "God, open my eyes. Give me spiritual eyes to see individuals that you're drawing to yourself so that I can join you in pointing them to Jesus. Open my eyes to see who's searching, who has those deep longings of their heart that they're looking to be met through Jesus Christ." We've put some Bibles on a table out in the foyer, Journey Bibles. Great Bibles for those who are spiritually curious, who are seekers, who are somewhat skeptical about God and about their faith. And there's little additional notes beside the scriptures that are written for people who are skeptical, for people who are curious. It's a great Bible to give to people who are not yet convinced of the claims of Christ. As I said, we have a table full of these Bibles. Here's my challenge to you this morning. Pick up one of these Bibles. $7.50. We got a great deal. We'd ask for you to help cover our cost. $7.50. Pick up a Bible and say, God, over the next couple weeks, over the holiday season, show me who I can give this Bible to. Show me who you are drawing to yourself. Show me who you are working in their hearts. Show me how I can join you. Why the scriptures? There's a lot of books you could give. And God uses a lot of books. But the scriptures is the primary way God reveals himself, convicts people of their sin, helps them to see their need for Jesus. Wouldn't it be great if all of us picked up a Bible and said, God, show me who I can give a Bible to over this holiday season. I hope all the Bibles are there gone after first service. We'll make a list and we'll have additional Bibles for you next week to pick up. So, what have we said this morning? Here at CBC, God is bringing forth a harvest. And each of us can be part of what God is doing by understanding the unique assignments that God has for us. It's around us who are spiritually hungry. Let's look for the third key. Verses 36 through 38. Follow along as I read. Even now, the reaper draws his wages. Even now, he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labors. Who do you think Jesus was referring to when he was speaking to the disciples? You understand what he's saying here? He's saying, look, see all the people from the town. They're coming out. They're spiritually open. They're spiritually hungry. We're going to have the opportunity to help them to understand how to have a relationship with God. They're ready to repent of their sins. They're ready to put their faith and trust in the Messiah for the forgiveness of the sins. We get to be part of the harvest, but we haven't done the hard work. Who did the sowing? Who did the cultivating? The text doesn't say, but I think we can be pretty confident that one of those individuals was John the Baptist, right? John the Baptist's job was to go before Jesus through Judea, through Galilee, through Samaria, to pave the way. He would to go through Samaria proclaiming, the Messiah is coming. Turn to God. Repent of your sins. The Messiah is coming. John the Baptist had the hard work. He had to sow. He had to toil. And now Jesus is saying, guess what? The harvest is here. We get to be part of the harvest, and we didn't even have to do the hard work. I think a key phrase, at least from my perspective, is at the end of verse 36. And Jesus says this, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. So that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Jesus' point was to the disciples, it's not about who sows or who reaps. It's not about who gets the credit. It's about us working together for the sake of the harvest. Third point is this. Here at CBC, God is bringing forth a harvest. And each of us can be part of what God is doing by working together to see people come to Christ. Catch this. God never intended for us to be out in the fields by ourselves. God never intended for us to be out in the fields by ourselves. Let's face it. Reaching out to those who don't know Christ can be discouraging. It's tireless work. God's intent was never for us to reach out alone, but to do it in the context of a team, to do it in the context of the body of Christ. Many of you were here last week and you saw Jeff Bowers be baptized. I woke up Jeff this morning. And he shared his testimony. After the service, the disciples, ABF, had a party for him. They all gathered together for a dinner to celebrate the work that God has been doing in his heart. Part of that celebration was Larry and Marilyn King. There we see the class together, celebrating the work that God has been doing in Jeff's life. Larry and Marilyn King, in many ways, did the hard work. Larry and Marilyn have King's Trailer Park. Some of you may be familiar with it, north of Bainbridge and 441. Larry and Marilyn are often out in the fields of that harvest field, praying for the campers, handing out the scriptures, helping people to see their need for Christ. They're laboring, they're sowing. And yet together, the whole Disciples ABF were able to celebrate the work that God had done in Jeff's heart. There's Jeff, right in the center of that class. In many ways, this is Jeff's family. Jeff's had a hard life. As he told you last week, he lived on the streets, literally, from the time he was 13 to the time he was 17 or 18. This class is his family. Not just his spiritual family, but in many ways, his physical family. And one of the things that they did for him on Sunday is they gave him an invitation that each month, someone from their ABF is going to take him out for dinner, have them over to their house. What are they doing? They're doing what Jesus said. Let's work together. It's not about who sows, it's about who reaps. About us joining together, locking arms for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of the harvest. Has Jeff benefited from the Disciples ABF? You better believe it. Has the Disciples ABF benefited from Jeff Bowers? You better believe it. Okay? Because they're recognizing that the harvest is now, the harvest is here, and we need to get about the Father's business. Let's pray. I'm going to give you a couple moments to reflect. If there's one thing I want you to hear from this message, it's what Jesus said. My food is to do the will of the Father who sent me. It's not about doing this morning. It's about walking closely with the Father. For as we walk closely with the Father, then we can join Him in the unique assignments that He has for us. It's about fellowshipping with Him, abiding with Him, worshiping Him, sitting at His feet, spending time in His scriptures. Let me ask you some questions. Have you become too busy serving God and people that you haven't slowed down enough to discern what assignments your Heavenly Father has for you? Or have you been too busy doing your own thing rather than focusing on the Father's will? Here's an important question. Who do you know that is spiritually open and hungry? And what is God asking you to do to point them to Jesus? Maybe God's bringing someone to your attention right now. Maybe He's not. But I would encourage you to ask the question, God, who is spiritually hungry and open? And what can I do to point them to Jesus? If you're part of an ABF or small group, here would be a worthwhile discussion. How can our small group or how can our ABF work together for the harvest that God is bringing to CBC? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You and we praise You that You are using us here at CBC to be part of a spiritual harvest. Lord, we acknowledge and recognize this morning that it's not because of us, but in many ways, it's despite us that You are using us and that You are blessing us. And so, Lord, we acknowledge our gratefulness that we can be part of Your eternal kingdom. I pray that You would help us all this week to walk closely with You, so that we can join you in the harvest that you are bringing forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.